Ramsey TV.
I figured out a way to cheat with these masks if you have to wear them. If you have to wear a mask because of the coronavirus madness, I mean, you have to go into some place. You just hook it on your ears. I hate to do this. I hate to even do this on here. I hate to do it like this. But then, don't put it over the nose. No. You have to have some kind of, this is what I do. Nose is out and my upper lip is actually out. See, and you kind of bite this. And then if somebody comes up, you just go like this. Nobody's looking. They're just seeing you have a mask on. They're not really doing this. So you just kind of tuck it down here a little bit. I like when I'm walking through the aisle of the drugstore, I kind of bite on it like this, you know? And then you could form a pocket. Look, you push this out like this and you form a pocket so that when you do that, you barely feel like you have the mask on. See the pocket? This is Martin Sender coming to you from a Red Roof Inn in Canton, Ohio, North Canton. Technically, my kid had another kid, so I'm back in Canton. Not that I wouldn't be here anyway. I like to visit my sister once in a while. This is Stark and Hartman headquarters. I have to make this video short. Once I get to my son's place, the old farmhouse in Greenwich, Ohio, I will be able to make my regular show, but because he's got fast internet. But here, the internet, not too good. Not too good. Oh, yeah, the question is, if somebody on the flight back, so on the flight here, American did not require masks yet, but they said, we highly recommend you wear a mask. I didn't wear one. But on May 11th, it's going to be mandatory. So I have two tricks. Either I'm going to do this, and if they say, sir, you have to put that over your nose, I have a ready excuse that you can use this excuse as well. I don't own it. And so I'm asthmatic, and my doctor said that if I breathe too much of my own CO2, I could go into an asthma fit. And you don't want to see that on this airplane. Believe me, it's not a good thing. Believe me, this is the lesser of two evils. And then That should calm them down. If it doesn't, if they say something crazy like, well, you have a written note from your doctor, say this. Well, my doctor can't write because he had both hands blown off during the Korean War. Okay, you quote me on that. So that's how I'm going to do that. And then I plan on the way back, because I'm going back after May 11th when the masks are required at American, I'm going to bring my own food, of course. I'll maybe bring a Subway sandwich. And you can't eat a Subway sandwich with a mask. So I'm going to take my mask off and I'm going to take an hour and a half, basically the whole flight from here to Charlotte, which is my connection. Take the whole flight to eat the sub. If they tell me I have to take a bite, put the mask on, take a bite, put the mask on, I'm going to take my phone out and say, your name is again. Yeah, this is American Airlines flight 1642. And you are who? Your phone is your best friend, because everybody's afraid it's going to go viral, which it would. So there you go. Now, this is going to be a short video once I get to Romans 9 here. Paul, I just told you he's going into Romans 9 from chapter 8, where he wonders what could separate us from the love of God. And of course, nothing separates anyone from the love of God. And then he starts to think about his brethren according to flesh. And we know he had great love for them, and he had great pain for them, because they were the biggest non-scriptural understanding people of all, which is kind of ironic because they wrote the scriptures. So to review, Paul says, Romans 9:1, the truth am I telling? I'm not lying, my conscience testifying together with me in Holy Spirit. My sorrow is great. Unintermittent pain is in my heart. Oh, I wanted to explain this. Paul says, for I myself wish to be anathema from Christ for my brother, my relatives according to the flesh. Most people think that when Paul says, for I myself wish to be anathema from Christ, they think that Paul is actually saying, if I could just sacrifice my calling and my walk with the Lord, my exalted place in the body of Christ, I would trade it just to get my brethren according to the flesh in the circle of the blessed. No, Paul's not saying anything like that. Paul's not so crazy. He's not going to give up this great thing that he has in Christ. What he's doing is he's giving Israel a break to his readers, who are the Romans, by saying, for I myself wish to be anathema from Christ. In other words, he's telling the Romans that I was once one of these people who wished to be anathema, that is, devoted to destruction from Christ. The Israelites of Paul's era hated Christ so bad they crucified him. They wanted to be anathema from him. Anathema meaning devoted to destruction. They wanted him to be devoted to destruction. They just wanted to be as far away from Christ as possible. And Paul said that, for I myself wish to be anathema from Christ. When was that? During the days when he was persecuting the ecclesia. He's putting himself in the same boat as the people he's talking about, because at one time he was in the same boat as the people he's talking about. In no way is he saying here, I wish to be anathema from Christ. I wish to be anathema from Christ in order to save my brethren. No, Paul would say, see you at the great white throne. I'm not giving this up. So Paul, of course, he's saying, for I myself wished, didn't say I wish to be anathema. I myself wished, past tense. I'm reading from the Concordant Literal New Testament, to be anathema from Christ. That's a parenthetical insertion. So if you read this verse, which is verse 2, without the parenthetical insertion, go from verse 2 to verse 3 without that, Paul says, I'm telling you in Holy Spirit, my sorrow is great, unintermittent pain is in my heart for my brethren, my relatives according to flesh. It's this parenthetical insertion that throws it off until you understand it. My sorrow is great, unintermittent pain is in my heart, for I myself wish to be anathema from Christ for my brethren according to the flesh. All right, I explain that. Who are Israelites? Who's his descendants? That's a key word when we dig deep here. Who are Israelites? Whose is the sonship, the glory, the covenants, the legislation, divine service, and the promises? Whose are the fathers, out of whom is the Christ according to the flesh? So he's really building up Israel and saying, don't be too hard on these people. And we're going to see that in chapter 11. He's really telling the nations, don't become prudent in your own estimation. Don't think that God's done with these people, because they were probably trashing Israel. Good thing you jumped the ship out of Israel, Paul. Good thing you abandoned these people. They're a bunch of losers. Now God has come to us, and they were all full of this false pride. And Paul's like, can't handle it. You can't handle it. People are thinking God's done with Israel. So here he's actually defending Israel. It's like, you esteem me? Well, I was once one of these people. I myself wished to be anathema from Christ at one time in the sordid part of my career. And he says, give me some breaks here, please, because I have unintermittent pain in my heart. Be a little respectful. Have some sympathy if you can't have empathy. Paul's bragging. Israelites, sonship, the glory, the covenants, the legislation. He's listing their great accomplishments, even though they don't believe anything of it. But not all of them are unbelievers. That's what Paul is going to say. That's the case he's going to make. Not as such as the word of God has lapsed. Here it is. Let me finish that. Whose are the fathers, out of whom is the Christ, according to flesh, who was over all? The Christ who is over all, he came according to flesh as an Israelite. So don't be too hard on these people. Right, here we go. Whose are the fathers, out of whom is the Christ, according to flesh, who was over all? That's a pretty good credential for Christ, over all. God be blessed for the eons. Amen. Then in verse 6, he turns a new channel. I'm going to comment on this for a little bit, then I'm going to let you go. I told you, got to make a short video. Now, it is not such as the word of God has lapsed. See, that's the whole thing with the Romans. They're thinking that the word of God has lapsed. That is, all the promises God made, and that they've heard about this. They're not into it, but they've heard tell, the great people of Israel, the Romans have. These are the nations Paul's writing to. He's not writing to Israelites. He's writing to the nations who know about the Israelites. And they know that God promised them the earth. Paul probably told them these things when he was with them. And they're thinking Israel's done now because the Spirit of God's come on us. I guess Israel's done. Paul says, no, it's not as such as the Word of God, because that would nullify the Word of God. It's not that the Word of God has lapsed. For not all those out of Israel, these are Israel. That's a mysterious phrase. Not many people understand that. Some use it to teach this replacement theology where not all Israel are Israel. Oh, okay, so if not all Israel are Israel, then maybe we Christians can be Israelites. This is that thing where God is bringing forth a spiritual Israel. That is, not a physical Israel at all, but a people who are You know, they kind of act like Israelites. Once in a while, they talk like Israelites. They love the Ten Commandments. And God's just counting them as Israelites. And he's fulfilling his promises to Israel in another people, which is absurd. No. And he's doing it a different way just by us being good Christians. That's the fulfillment of everything God promised Israel. No, not by a long shot. Throughout this thing, we are talking about none other than fleshly Israelites. You need to keep that bearing or you're going to lose it. So the word of God is not lapsed, for not all those out of Israel are Israel. So here in the first Israel, he's using it as the literal seed of Israel, just an Israelite pertaining to the seed. The second Israel here is those enlightened Israelites. They're still out of the stock of Israel, not all those out of Israel. See, that's the umbrella here. Not all those out of Israel. These are Israel. That is, not all those out of Abraham believe like Abraham did. Not all of those who claim Abraham, Isaac, Jacob as their father rightly claim Abraham, Isaac, Jacob as their father. Not all of those are the Israel of David, the Israel of Abraham. So not all those that come out of that common stock are the good ones. There's some bad apples. They're still coming out of the common stock of Israel. I should go to verse 7. Neither that Abraham's seed are all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. So Isaac is the son of promise, and the true Israel are the ones of promise. The true Israel is not a bunch of Christians who pretend to be Israelites, and God is replacing the true Israel with them. No, not that at all. He's just saying that not everybody who's called an Israelite is actually the Israelite that God has in mind. That is a person true to the word, true to God. No. So the stock is important. It's important that you be an Israelite, but it's important that you be a smart and spiritual Israelite, because only those will inherit the promise, and only those out of Isaac, the son of the promise, will inherit the earth in a kingdom run by their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.